Many of us are uncomfortable talking about race with our friends, and yet an in-depth conversation about prejudice and racial bias, when handled with respect, can honor our connections and help change how we see one another for the better. Robin Duncan is CEO and founder of the R.D. Duncan Institute for Professional Development. He facilitates group conversations, and he's presenting at the AME Allen Chapel in Yankton this Saturday. That's April 7th, 2 p.m. Central Time. His talk is called Under Our Skin, A Discussion About Race, and he joins us on the phone now from Sioux Falls. Robert Duncan, thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thank you.
It seems, let's start with just avoiding the conversation, because sometimes it's hard for people to talk about racial issues, whether it's something, you know, from the news or something that they're just wondering or thinking about. What's wrong with just kind of steering clear of conversations about race, just to be safe?
Mm-hmm. You're asking what is wrong with that?
Yeah, let's talk about why it's important not to avoid the conversation.
Right. Okay. Well, I think it would certainly take care of some of the isms that we live with, you know, racism, and, you know, you can throw all sorts of isms in there, because I think we think that if we don't talk about it, it'll go away or it won't have an impact on us. But then somewhere in our reserve are some hidden biases that we're not even aware of, and sometimes it takes those kind of conversations to sort of illuminate what's, you know, down in those dark corners of our mind, and then have the courage to, you know, it's not like we're asking for confessionals, but it's like, if you have something that's going on, you probably, you know, we should have a conversation about it, see what it's all about.
What does a healthy conversation look like? You know, how do we approach conversations in a healthy way, in a meaningful way?
Well, my experience has been, you know, this might sound a little bit weird, but the healthiest conversations that I've been a part of sometimes ends up with tears. Sometimes there's a little bit of anger because someone has struck a nerve, rattled our cage. But that's not the end of the story. That should not be the end of the conversation. I don't think it's any different when, you know, someone's convicted of a crime. Yeah, they shed tears. They do all kinds of things. But for, maybe some of the same reasons, shame, embarrassment, failure to admit that this was ever an issue. And I think these conversations certainly have the potential to do that. But that's not the end of the story. And it should, you know, the goal would be, but how can we keep the conversation going? Maybe we can stop for that moment, but we need to come back to the issues to discover what the issues are. Sometimes the thing that gets us in the most trouble is the unknown rather than the known.
Hmm. Tell me about your work in sort of facilitating week-long conversations. What sort of work do you do? Who reaches out to you and asks for this kind of guidance?
Well, I've had churches actually reach out to, you know, in more of a proactive manner. It wasn't that they were necessarily having any issues, but a particular church here in Sioux Falls who does have multiple cultures as part of the congregation want to know, you know, what are some best practices in the event that a problem should arise. There isn't one now, but we want to be proactive. But even with the people that came around to the table, there were some things that actually came out within that safe group. And so if we're courageous enough to say what's eating us, what bothers us, and have a reflective conversation about it, then that begins any healing that needs to happen. And we can't heal all the ills from the past, but we can certainly pick it up where we are today. So I've had a couple of churches that have reached out to me to have these conversations.
What does a safe group look like? How do you set that up so that people do feel like they can, talk about this, not only their own prejudices or their own, you know, feeling of a sort of, you know, being, you know, suffering racial discrimination in a location, in a society, in a church? How do you set it up so it is safe?
Well, this particular church that I did a conversation with, they, you know, I leave that up to whoever's contacting me to have the conversation. I don't have a screening process as to who should and who shouldn't. I think we might assume that in the church that, you know, this can happen without any problems, but we know that's not so true. So I don't really, if I'm going to do something on a community level, then, you know, I encourage community leaders, you know, a nice diverse group of community leaders to come to the table. And so we assume that they might be safe, but it doesn't mean we don't have some stuff going on. It doesn't mean that we don't have any issues, even amongst leaders. So, there really isn't a... Now, when we bring the rest of the community in, you know, I think most communities are able to determine who would be... I'm not looking for nice people to be at the table, but I'm looking for real people to be at the table. And so who's going, you know, how will our community best be represented? We're trying to set something up in Yankton. So this is just basically on Saturday, it's just going to be a preview of what a conversation will look like in hope that we actually go for what we started last fall. And so we know who these potential players are. And so the way I would lay it out is we would have 8 conversations, 4 with leaders and then 4 with leaders and community people with a set agenda. I don't really have control of who comes. I just show up and we go from there.
If you're just tuning in, the program we're talking about is at the AME Allen Chapel in Yankton. That's Saturday, April 7th at 2 p.m. It's called Under Our Skin, A Discussion About Race. You're listening to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and my guest is Robin Duncan. He's CEO and founder of the R.D. Duncan Institute for Professional Development. And I'm wondering about the people who come to the table or that you talk to or who are listening right now who don't see it's a problem. They see, the past is in the past. I'm not racist. I don't have, prejudice or bias. How do you really talk with them? Is that possible? Or does everyone have a little something that they need to talk about?
Yeah, we all do. And there's actually an assessment that when I'm doing this in a workshop format that I have participants do, and it at the end of the assessment, basically what it says is their preference is either to be with basically with white people or black people. That would be their preferred company. I don't ask them to share those results, but what it lets you know is that, you know, we all have something. You know, whether it's race or not, we have biases. And, you know, if we can get to a better understanding, it may not change the fact that those biases exist, but what it does do is it creates an awareness for us that, oh, this isn't, and if it becomes an issue, then it's like, okay, if I have an issue, a healthy person is going to try to do something to resolve it. You know, if you have a fever for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and it's not breaking, the healthy-minded person is going to call the doc and ask for a prescription or do something to remedy this problem. But the unhealthy person will just let it go, oh, I can handle it, not affecting me, and then problems begin from there. So, yeah, it's all about, you know, I think the person that comes to a meeting like this that says, yeah, I'm racist, and what are we going to do about it? That's who I want to speak with, because they're able to say, yeah, I got a problem, and I mean, I work in mental health, and so I work with problems all the time. And so that would be sort of the idea of what a good, healthy conversation could look like, not just bringing all the nice people to the table, because that's kind of boring.
What's the potential impact, and what have you seen in your work in the past of really, you know, having a conversation that resonates beyond just the room at that moment?
Well, That's a good question, because I have yet with this one church to do some follow-up. We finished our conversation. We started it in November, finished in February, and now a couple of months have gone by. And so sometime early summer, late spring, I would like to go back with this group, because I kind of gave them a task of, you know, go out and make what's wrong right, you know, whatever that means. And so my goal would be to then have a follow-up to just to find out what they discovered, what worked, what didn't work, and then maybe we can engage in another setting, you know, moving forward.
What's your advice? And we'll leave folks with this. For people who are listening, they can't make it to, you know, the program in Yankton, but they're thinking now, like, you know, how do I have these conversations in my own family, in my own community? Where do you suggest people begin?
Well, they can certainly go onto my website. I don't know if you provided that information, but it would be, I would be more than happy, you know, if it's a church or even if it's a business, you know, I'd be happy to engage and set up a conversation setting for people that can't make it to Saturday's event, but want, or then call me, and we can have a conversation about having a conversation, and
kind of go from there. All right. Robin Duncan is CEO and founder of the R.D. Duncan Institute for Professional Development. He facilitates group conversations, and he's presenting at the AME Allen Chapel in Yankton this Saturday, April 7th, 2 p.m. His talk is called Under Our Skin, A Discussion About Race. Robin Duncan, thank you so much.
Thank you.